Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again. As we take time to study your word, as we take time to understand it, you are revealing to us our need of Jesus. You are revealing to us that the only way we're going to be able to preach this message is if your Holy Spirit dwells in us. And Father, we recognize that there's nothing good in us. We recognize that only through Jesus can we see a difference in our life, in our families, and in our church. So we thank you again for the message that we have received this afternoon. And we ask again your blessing upon Pastor Steve Wilberg as he shares the second part. May we pay attention. And with your help, may we put into practice those things we learn. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On. Can you hear me? Check one, two. There we go. Okay, thank you. All right, let's open our Bibles up to Psalm 107, verse 20. That's going to be our opening text in just a little bit. And I want to share a few thoughts before we pray. You can see on the screen the title is called The Power of the Word. This is our grand finale for this series called Get Ready, Get Ready, Get Ready. I hope you've been blessed. From last night and this morning and this afternoon, I've been blessed definitely to be here, and I just I'm very thankful, and I know that God is very, very good. Isn't that right? Now, since this is the last meeting, let me just, I've put together a few slides this morning or last night just in case you'd like to keep in touch with Whitehorse Media and learn more about the ministry and what God is doing and the information that we're putting out. We have a website. I don't know how many of you have ever been on it, but it's whitehorsemedia.com. That's our main site. We picked the name White Horse Media because of Revelation 19:11 that describes Jesus coming on a white horse. So we've got a lot of information on our website, articles. We have links to DVDs and many other things. Let me see. Why is my clicker not? Okay, there we go. We have a, what does that say up there? We have a Twitter page. How many, I'm curious, how many of you ever get tweets from anybody? Right, anybody here into Twitter? No? Nobody? One. Okay, well, I won't spend much time on this one. But I do have a Twitter address, Whitehorse7, and I'm starting to send out a lot of information through Twitter. So if you want to get some direct pieces of information from me, you can sign up for a Twitter account, which gives you just quick little pieces of information. We also have a Facebook page, which is getting a lot of action these days. I just posted a post about the judgment information we studied last night. Mentioned Fallbrook, California. We did take some pictures today, and probably in the next couple days, you'll probably see your face on my Facebook page from this audience. And we have just a lot of traffic going on there, getting a lot of information. There's my family, it's my wife, and my little boy, and my daughter. That was taken a few years ago. So for those of you that are into Facebook, we also have a brand new website that is not quite live yet. We have an earlier version of it, but warnthecities.com is the site that we're working on. We have one up there now, but we're about to relaunch it. And this site it's going to have all kinds of links to news clippings about floods, fires, earthquakes, disasters, and tying this in with biblical prophecy. This is going to be a site for the public to be shared. It's going to be very powerful. We want to do a lot of promotion of this website. We also have, as I mentioned, the Startling Prophecies for America series that we just filmed. And this will be, if it's not already up there, on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/whitehorsemedia. You can watch almost everything that we have on that site. And it's all free, no cost. Just go there. You can share it and link it. This has only been up for just a few days. We already have over 3,600 views, which is, we think that's pretty good. And you never know where these are going to go. There's a picture, a recent picture of my wife and my kids, little Abby and Seth, and I mentioned that I'm a family man, and so I do post pictures sometimes of my family. And that is a picture of guess who? That is me. And this is tying in with the topic that we're about to get into. That's what I looked like in 1978. I'm at my dad's in Studio City. I'm in front of a lamp that says bar, flicking a lighter. My eyes are, if you had a good close look at them, you'd probably see red lines. My bloodshot eyes, because we used to say, wasted or high. I used drugs regularly for many years. I was actually a drug dealer, if you can believe that. Used to sell drugs. And I was about as lost can be. And where am I today? Now I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian pastor. I direct a media ministry called White Horse Media. We produce television programs. God has led me to write books. We have websites, all the things that you've seen. And the Lord, by His wonderful goodness and grace, He has taken a brand and plucked it out of the fire. And He is, praise His name. And I'm just so excited, you know, to be a Christian, really. I'm happily married. I have two beautiful children. And by the grace of God, I want to stay faithful all the way till the end. I want to be up in the kingdom. And the reason why I show you this picture is because the transforming agency that God has used to change my life is this book. It's the Bible. It's the Word of the Lord. And so that's why I want to finish this meeting with a focus on the Word of God, the power of the Word, what it has done for me and what it can do for you. In the midst of mass confusion, we live in an age where there's just, you know, everything is up for grabs. God wants us to be grounded in His Word. I'm going to read one quotation from the book Great Controversy, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get started. This book, The Great Controversy, is a masterpiece. If you haven't read it, you should read it. And as you get down near the end of this book, chapter 37 is called The Scriptures, a Safeguard. God's Word is our safety in these last days. And here's one sentence. This is page 593. It says, none but those. Now, what does the word none mean? Zero. None but those who have fortified the mind with the great truths of the Bible will stand during the last great conflict. So if we want to stand in the final conflict that's coming, that we are on the edge of, we need to fortify our minds with the truths of God's Word. And that's what this last meeting's about. So let's pray again. Let's ask God to help us. Pray that the Holy Spirit will come. And when this meeting's over, we'll take a little bit of time for some questions and answers. We'll have a Q&A. So we'll do that. Dear Father in heaven, You are so good. I remember where I used to be. I remember what I used to do, the kind of person I used to be. And Lord, You have done so many wonderful things in my life. And I'm so grateful to You. Thank You for giving me the strength this weekend here in Fallbrook. Thank You for every person that has come. And we pray that as we have reached the last meeting, that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and impress us with the truths of Your Word. Lord, may holy angels be all around us. Go again deep in our hearts and teach us Your truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is the only slide I've got. This is a new talk I've put together, so I'm not going to push any more buttons. You're going to see this slide up there for the whole time. The power of the word. Psalm 107. Verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. I love this passage. The Bible says he sent. And what did he send? He sent his word. That's right. Now, didn't the Father send the Son? He sent his Son also. And Jesus in John chapter 1 is called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible is the written Word. Jesus is the living Word. And the living Word and the written Word, they go together. So this can apply both to the written Word and to the living Word. He sent his Word. And when he sent his word, then what does the word do for people? It says that he healed them. He sent his word and healed them. And he delivered them from their destructions. That is a very powerful text. I remember years ago, I was holding a Bible prophecy seminar in British Columbia. And there was a young lady coming to the meeting. She was Native American. And she had a lot of problems. And one day after one of the meetings, she came to me and she started talking to me and we visited and she told me about, you know, the alcohol struggles and the drugs and, you know, the men struggles and all the kinds of struggles that she was having. And her life was a mess. And I shared this text with her, this very verse. I just read this to her and we had prayer together. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And she left, and she got in her car, and she drove away. And then she came back the next night or next couple nights, and she came up to me again, and we had a conversation. And she said, Steve, you know, after we talked, and after you read that verse to me, I was driving home, and I was thinking about my life and all my problems. And she said, my hands were on the steering wheel, and that Bible verse that you read kept ringing in my ears. He sent his word. And he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. And she said to me, as I was driving, all of a sudden, the light went on. It hit me, and I realized, wow, God is sending his word to me. And his word is going to deliver me from the problems that I'm in, from my destructions. And it was just, you know, it's very powerful. God's word is very, very powerful. I showed you a picture of what I used to look like. My mother and father had a home in a place called Laurelwood in Studio City, up right near on Mulholland, up near the top of the Hollywood Hills, right on the other side of the hills. You go a little bit over to the west, or no, to the east, is the Hollywood sign. You know where that is, the Hollywood sign. You probably heard somebody sabotaged it the other day and changed it to Hollyweed. Did you hear that? Hollywood, Hollyweed. It's a major news story. Well, I grew up a little bit on the other side of that sign and a little bit over to the west with my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my aunt. My aunt just died about 2 weeks ago, 82 years old in Indiana. Her name was Jackie. My family was and is Jewish, but our family was very secular Jewish. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't pray. If you were to ask me, you know, back then when I was 6 or 7 or 8 years old, who built the ark? I wouldn't have known what you were talking about. Who was swallowed by the whale? I would have no idea because I did not grow up learning the Bible stories. I grew up reading Dr. Seuss. The Cat in the Hat Comes Back, not the Bible stories. Didn't know anything about that. And as I got older and eventually got into my teen years, I was surrounded by just, you know, the ways of the world. I went to public schools all growing up, went to North Hollywood High School, graduated in 1977, found out that my 40-year high school reunion is coming up this September. And I'm going to be somewhere holding a meeting, so I can't go. I looked at the list the other day. I went on to the reunion website and found out that there was a long list of all the people that graduated from North Hollywood High in 1977. There's a very small list of people that they still are in touch with and people that might come to the reunion. I don't know, maybe a lot of them have died. I do know some of my friends that I went to school with are dead. I know Michael Prey, young man, he drank a lot of alcohol, developed a liver disease, and he died. Another girl that I knew, Lisa Cordero, very nice young lady. I found out that she overdosed with a drug called Quaaludes, and she died. And it could have easily happened to me. As I got into my teen years, I started smoking marijuana. Somebody offered me a marijuana cigarette in the back of a bus, school bus, on the way to school for the first time, and I didn't really know what it was. I took it, I began to smoke, and that was the beginning. I think I was 14 years old, and I began to smoke marijuana. We called it pot. I smoked every day for about 6 years. As I was about 15 or 16, started going out to the parties, the rock and roll concerts, the discos, and that's all I knew. My friends, my buddies, you know, that's what they did. They used drugs, they drank, they smoked, they caroused, and that's all I knew. I didn't know any Christians, never went to church, didn't go to synagogue, wasn't even bar mitzvahed. If you can believe that, I'm a unbar mitzvah Jew. So that's not very good. I didn't know anything. In 1979, a lot of different things happened. I was as lost could be. One day I was at my dad's house. I was 20 years old. I walked into my dad's upstairs. I lived down in the basement for a while. And I turned on the television set, just looking for who knows what, some show. And out of the blue, I turned on the TV, and I saw a very friendly face looking at me. A friendly face, a man with an open Bible. And he looked at me, and he said, "Hello, friend. Welcome to It Is Written Television." And you know who that was? That's right, Pastor George Vandeman, Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I didn't know what a Seventh-day Adventist was. I didn't know hardly what the Bible was. Didn't know anything about this man or this program. And I sat down and I watched Pastor George one time. And he just had a way, you know, he smiled and he was very friendly. And his subject was the Bible Sabbath. One time I heard him talk about the Sabbath. And at the end of that half-hour program, he held up a little book called A Day to Remember. And he looked right through the camera, right through the television, he looked right at me. And he said, "Friend," he said, "call me up. And I'll send you this book as a gift. There's an 800 number on the screen. Just call me up right now, and I'll send you the book." And I felt this drawing, and I had no idea that it was the Holy Spirit. Didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. But I felt this drawing, and it was like a voice said to me, "Go to the phone and call that man." So I did. I went to the phone. I called him. Actually, he didn't answer. But the phone rang, and Andrews University and was one of the AIM operators, and they answered the phone and took my information and sent me the book. About 3 days later, I got it at my dad's house in the mailbox, picked up the book, went back into my dad's house, sat down and read the book from cover to cover. And at the back of the book, there was a little sentence on the bottom in the back that said, how did it read? It said, "Friend, come and visit a Seventh-day Adventist church sometime and say hello." So I read that little line at the back of the books. "Come, friend, and visit a Seventh-day Adventist church sometime and say hello." And I thought to myself, what in the world is a Seventh-day Adventist? I have no idea. And then as I was thinking about it, I thought, wait a minute, haven't I heard that name one time before? And there was a hazy memory that came up in my brain where about 3 months before I read the book, I was in a health food store in Northridge, Cal State. I was going to Cal State Northridge, actually. I just started college, my third year of college there. Went to North Hollywood High, LA Valley College, and then Cal State Northridge. I was going back and forth from the dorm to my dad's place. First time I was out of the house. And in Northridge was a health food store called Irwan Health Foods. And I was there a few months earlier with a buddy of mine, and I was buying tofu burgers, and we would buy all kinds of healthy food. It's amazing, you know, as I look back on those days when I used to smoke pot and deal drugs and drink alcohol, that we were eating healthy food. I don't know how we got into that. You know, maybe because marijuana, you know, it seemed natural, and sprouts, they kind of go together. So big sprout salads. And so anyway, I was in this market buying the food, and I was with a buddy of mine named Steve Fry. And I still remember Steve was struck up a conversation with a man who worked at the health food store, a young man. And this man was spraying down the produce with the mist. And Steve struck up a conversation with him, and I was buying the food. And as we walked out of the store, my friend said to me, he said, you know that guy I was talking to that was spraying the vegetables? He said, that guy is a Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventist. And I thought, so? You know, big deal. What's a Seventh-day Adventist? Had no idea. But 3 months later or so after I read that book and I saw that line, come visit a Seventh-day Adventist church and say hello, I thought, oh yeah, there's that guy at the health food store watering the vegetables. So I got in my little car, drove out from Studio City to Northridge, walked up the stairs into the market and looked around, and lo and behold, there he was. He was over standing by the smoothie bar. He had long blonde hair, and I recognized him. I walked up to him, reached out my hand, and I said, hi. I said, my name is Steve Wahlberg. Would you mind if I go to church with you some Saturday? Now, that's pretty easy to witness, wouldn't you say? You know, you don't go out there. You know, they come right to you. Wouldn't that be great? So that's what I did. So he said, hi, my name's Richard. He said, sure, you can, Richard Dunlap, you can come to church. And he went to the Canoga Park Adventist Church. So about a week and a half later, I visited the church for the first time, walked inside an Adventist church I'd never been in, and the pastor recognized that here's this new kid that's come into my church, and his name was Pastor Church. I don't know if anybody knows him or knew him, Pastor J.B. Church. And he was a godly man. He was the, you know, kind of pastor. He was like a pastor's pastor. And he noticed me, brought me into his office, sat me down, and asked me a bunch of questions. Who are you? You know, why are you here? How'd you find out about our church? And I told him different things. And then he reached on his bookshelf, and he grabbed a book called The Desire of Ages. And he handed me that book, and he said, Steve, he said, take this book home and read it. So I went back to the dorm at Cal State Northridge. It was a co-ed dorm. The cafeteria became a disco on Saturday nights. I could smell the marijuana smoke blowing down the hallway. It was just a crazy place, and here I was. I had a roommate. I'd come home later on in the evenings, and my roommate would have guys and girls in the room, and it was just crazy. But sometimes when he was out of the room and I was by myself, I started reading Desire of Ages. And I read that book from cover to cover. And what really reached me, what really reached my soul more than anything else, was chapter 74, the chapter on the Garden of Gethsemane. And by this time, I had found a Bible. I got a hold of a Bible. My stepmother had a Bible. And I got a hold of a Bible, and I was reading, starting to read the Bible, didn't really understand it very much. But when I read Desire of Ages, chapter 74, and I saw the revelation of Jesus suffering for me in the Garden of Gethsemane, suffering under the sins of the whole world, including my sins, that was the revelation that reached my heart more than anything else. It just reached me. It was like God reached down his hand from heaven and said, Steve, I want you. I'm calling you. I'm doing all this for you, and I want to get you out of all these things. And so sometime after I read chapter 74, I was in the dorm by myself. I got down on my knees, and I prayed a prayer, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to change my life. And that was in the fall of 1979. And now it's, what, 37 years later, and I'm still here. I'm still here. And as I look back and as I look at starting to read the Bible, reading Desire of Ages, I am totally convinced that it was the Word of God. It was God using the Word, the revelation of the Garden of Gethsemane, what Jesus went through for me. It was his Word that began the process of healing me and delivering me from my destructions. And I had a lot of destructions. I had all kinds of things, and I've told you some of them. There were other things that I'm not going to tell you about. But anyway, I think I mentioned this earlier today or last night, that for the first 5 or 6 years of my Christian life, things were going really well. I was very happy. When I accepted Jesus into my heart,
I gave up my drugs. I gave up the alcohol. I gave up the wildlife. I gave up the discos. I gave up John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever and all the, you know, rock and roll groups that I used to listen to. All that just went out the window. And Jesus became everything to me. And I'm not going to tell you all the details, but it's amazing that in a very, very short time, after I read Desire of Ages, I talked to Pastor Church and I said, Pastor Church, I'm a Christian now. I don't really want to go to Cal State Northridge anymore. I don't want to be in this dorm room where I've got guys and girls in the same room, you know, at night and marijuana that I can smell down the hallway. What do I do? I read that book you gave me, and now what do I do? So he said, he thought about it, and he said, you know, we have a Seventh-day Adventist school not too far from here. It's called La Sierra College. And he said, why don't you go there? And he checked, and he found out that school, that registration is this coming week. School hasn't started yet. So I drove out to La Sierra. I walked into the administration building, and I started asking questions. And eventually, I got directed to a man named Lynn Mallory. That name rings a bell with any of you. Lynn Mallory, at that time, was the dean of religion at La Sierra. He eventually became the conference president for Southeastern California Conference. I'm sure you... That sounds familiar, right? Are we in Southeastern California Conference? And so anyway, Lynn Mallory brought me into his office, and he sat me down, and he said, who are you, and how'd you get here? And I told him, I'm not an Adventist. I'm just learning about the church. And he said, who sent you here? And I said, Pastor Church, Pastor J.B. Church from Canoga Park. And he said, oh, Pastor Church, he's a friend of mine. So he wrote out a little slip, and he said, take this to the ad building. So when I went to the ad building, I was able to register. And when I registered for college, this was my third year of college, they said to me, what's your major? And I said, I don't know what my major is. I'm here to study the Bible. That's about all I know. And then the administrator said, well, you can be a religion major, which with an emphasis on education, or pastoral. And I had no idea what either one of those meant. And she said, okay, and she picked pastoral. So she enrolled me in the ministry. That's how I got into the pastoral ministry. And so I landed at La Sierra, and my dad allowed me to move from one dorm to the other dorm, Sierra Towers. And one of my first classes was called The Life and Teachings of Jesus. And guess what my textbook was? Desire of Ages. That's right. And, you know, when I got there and I sat in my class, one day it just hit me. Wow, look at what the Lord has done. You know, he brought me out of all these crazy things. He brought me into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's changed my life through reading the Bible and through learning about Desire of Ages. He's called me into the ministry, and now I'm reading my textbook, Desire of Ages. Instead of going out to the discos or to the parties on Friday nights, I would go to the little afterglow gatherings where we would, you know, people would play guitar and sing songs about the Lord, and everything was changed. A lot was changed. I mean, at that time, it seemed to me like everything was changed. But now, as I look back, there were still a lot of things that needed to be changed. A lot of things, which I didn't really understand. I mentioned this earlier, that the Bible verse that says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that light began to shine on me. But I didn't realize it at the time, that there was still a lot of darkness that was still in me that started coming out. There were subtle forms of pride and selfishness and this or that that I really was clueless to understand. And to make a long story short, the first year at La Sierra was good. Second year was good. Third year was pretty good. I graduated from there. I went to Bakersfield as an intern. And intern at the Hillcrest Church, and then the conference sent me to the seminary. Central California Conference sent me to the seminary, and I went 2 years at Andrews getting my master's. And by the time I was getting ready to leave Andrews, my fourth year of school, my fifth year of school, I began to have problems. I began to have struggles. And to make a long story short, the way it happened was, as time went on, the peace that I started with when I first became a Christian started just disappearing. And the happiness that I had in knowing the Lord, it just started going away. And for some reason that I could not understand, I just didn't feel close to Jesus anymore. And I would read the Bible, and it wouldn't speak to me. I would grab Desire of Ages, I would read the testimonies and other material, and it just seemed like it was getting farther and farther and farther away. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. But it just, you know, for some reason, it just wasn't working. And I just wasn't happy anymore. And I didn't know why. And so I had a roommate in college. He was an Adventist young man. We were both went to seminary together at Andrews. And we began, you know, he began to talk to me about different books and getting into Christian psychology books and trying to figure out, you know, how to find peace of mind and this or that. And the more I went in that direction, the more confused I got. And they didn't help me. I didn't feel any better. I didn't have the happiness that I was that I had before. And there's a lot of things that happened. I just can't go into all the details. But after I left the seminary, I went to San Francisco. I was a young pastor. I don't know how old was I, 1986. I was like 27 or 28. And I went out to San Francisco. And I had two churches. They gave me a Russian church in San Francisco, a small church, and an English church in Pacifica, California, just south of Daly City, if anybody knows where that is. Did you ever see that news clipping of that cliff right on Pacifica where those apartment complex that fell off the cliff and went toward the water? Did anybody see any of that? That was not too long ago. You saw it. And anyway, I got an apartment in one of those apartments right on the edge of the cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. That's where I lived. And when I was there, a couple of months after I got there, I was asked to do a Revelation seminar, and I had friends in the church, in both churches, but I tell you, I was really struggling. And I was preaching on Sabbath morning, but I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. I didn't sense the Holy Spirit. I had this battle going on, and I had no idea what was going on. And the strain of knowing that I was supposed to be a minister and speak to people in behalf of God and conduct a Revelation seminar, and yet I just didn't feel like I was connected to the Lord, the strain of that became so great that one night I got on my knees. I turned off all the lights, and I started praying in the dark. And I remember telling the Lord, "Lord, I'm at the crossroads. I cannot continue to do this as a pastor because I just don't feel right about it. You know, I can't continue to pretend that everything's going well when it isn't. I can't say praise the Lord when I don't feel that." You know, not that your whole life, you know, goes by feeling. We go by faith, not by feeling, but you've got to have some sense of the Lord. It's like when you're married, you know. Obviously, you know, when people are married, you don't always get along with your wife or your husband, and you have to follow principle, and you follow the principle of love. But if the whole thing is just based on principle and you really don't have any real, you know, tender affection for each other, how long can you go like that? And that's the way it was with me. You know, I just thought, "Lord, this something's got to give. I don't know what to do." And so I prayed. I got on my knees in the dark and I prayed. I said, "Lord, if you don't do something, I'm going to go back to the world. I'm just going to go back out and back and do the things that I used to do. My dad's he was a businessman. I'm just going to go try to get into business because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." I said, "God, you got to help me." You ever heard the expression, "Man's extremity is God's opportunity"? Well, that was me. I was at the crossroads. What am I going to do? And I got on my knees and I prayed. And in the midst of with all the lights off, there was this, I was in the dark. There was an impression, a heavenly impression. And the impression said, "Pray for the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth." John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, will come, He will guide you into all truth. So I began to do that. I began to pray, okay, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Help me to understand the truth. Help me to understand why I'm so confused, why I don't have the peace of Jesus. Why did my first love go away? What happened? And then I turn the light on, and I grab my Bible, and I open my Bible, and I read a verse. And I want you to see that verse. If you have a Bible, go to Psalm 119, verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67, was a ray of light in the middle of my darkness. And I tell you, this verse, it saved my life. This one verse saved my life, because if I would have gone back to my old ways, I would have died. I never would have survived. Especially once you've been enlightened, then you go back to the world, trying to find peace, I would have been a sitting duck. I never would have survived. I know myself too well. But here was this verse. In 1986, in Pacifica, California, at the edge of the cliff, I read this verse, verse 67. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word." And this verse just jumped out at me. And I looked at this verse, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm afflicted. This is not fun. I am not having a good time. I'm having an emotional battle. What is going on? It was a big struggle. And I didn't tell you. Did I tell you that I burned my Ellen White books? Did I tell you that? I have a CD on this. I think we have it in some of them this evening. We'll give them away for free. You can also hear the sermon on Audioverse. Anybody heard that sermon? I burned my Ellen White books. Okay, a friend of mine told me recently that I work with, he said, "Steve, you've got to tell this story." Because I didn't tell it. I went about 30 years not telling this story. But he said, "You got to tell this story." When I was back at Andrews, and it wasn't the responsibility of the seminary, it wasn't my teachers, it was all me. My roommate, who was getting into Christian psychology, he suggested, he said, "Steve, you're having such a struggle." He said, "I think you need to start new. And I think you need to take all your Ellen White books that you're having such a battle over, and you need to just get rid of them. You need to burn them." So we took a big box of my books out in the back behind Berman Hall, out into the forest, and we had a big bonfire. Well, yeah, mercy. I actually did that. And that was 30 years ago. So I'm not going to do it today. But it was a long time ago. And as they burned up, Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, Testimonies, First Selected Messages, all these books burning up, I remember we prayed over that bonfire. And we prayed, "Lord, help me. Give me a fresh start. Help me to understand and bring me close back to you." That's what we prayed. So anyway, when I got to Pacifica and I read this verse, I thought, man, I'm really afflicted. Because burning those books didn't give me any peace. Didn't help. Didn't help. If I would have gone back to the world, that wouldn't have helped. So there I am, and I'm reading this verse. And I thought, Lord, I'm really afflicted. And then what struck me was it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Prior to the affliction, prior to my struggles, I strayed. And then David said, "But now I keep your word." And I thought to myself, the thought came to me, I thought, is it possible that the reason why I'm having these struggles is because I, Steve Wahlberg, have slowly, without realizing it, strayed away from the Word of God? Is that what happened? I mean, as you're a Christian for a year or 2 years or 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you run into a lot of ideas, you hear a lot of things. And sometimes you slack off in your devotional life. You don't feel your need as much as you should. You feel, you know, good about your Christian life sometimes when it's just yourself, you know, keeping yourself going by your own muscle. And there's a subtle form of pride that comes in. I used to give my testimony a lot coming out of North Hollywood when I was at La Sierra, and I didn't realize it at the time, but there was a subtle form of pride that was even woven into my testimony about my old life and my past. So I looked at that text and I said, Jesus, is it possible that that's why I'm having all these problems? Is it because I have strayed away from the pure word of the Lord? And then I went down to verse 71. Verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. God uses affliction. He uses the wilderness struggles and the trials to teach us lessons that we need to know. And in my case, what I needed to know was that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that right there began my journey. And I thought to myself, you know, I can go one of two ways. I can go out the door, back to the world, or I can begin the step-by-step journey of humbling myself and getting back to the pure Word of God, back to the foot of the cross, where I first met the Lord in 1979. And so I had to make a decision. What am I going to do? And right there in that room in Pacifica, I decided, I said, I am going to go back. I'm going to retrace my steps and go back step by step by step back to the Word of God, back to the foot of the cross. And I tell you, it's amazing. I can't hardly describe it. And I didn't actually see demonic faces, you know, with my physical eyesight, but in my mind's eye, in my imagination, in my head, when I made that choice, I'm going back to the Word of God, it was like inside my head, I could see these faces, all these different faces, and they were looking at me, just, you know, gritted teeth, and they were saying, no, don't do it. Don't go back. Don't go back. Go out to the world. It's a lot easier. And I looked at those faces in my mental thinking, and I just said, no, I'm going back, whether you like it or whether you don't. And it's amazing. Like I said, I can't tell you all the details, but there were times as I began my journey, and I continued to study my Bible, study the Ten Commandments, read the Psalms. Psalm 88 is a powerful psalm. I don't have time to go into it right now, but Psalm 88 is a psalm that has no light in it. It's the only psalm in the Bible that I remember. The whole psalm is darkness. It's David in darkness. And in my translation I had at that time, the very last verse said, darkness is my closest friend. And I remember reading that chapter, and I could relate to it. And I thought, that's me. That's me. David can relate to me. And I'm going back. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to stick with the Word no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. And it's been a long journey. 1986, didn't take long until the Lord called me out of the Central California Conference and called me to Weimar. So I left pastoral ministry and I went to Weimar as a Bible teacher. And I taught high school kids for 3 years, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. That's where I met Dr. Nixon. And I taught my students the Bible. I had come out of the seminary and had a lot of ideas in my head. And the Lord told me, it's time to get back to my pure word. And I used Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, the book Education. These were my textbooks for my kids. Wonderful time at Weimar. And at Weimar, the light began to come back to me. The peace began to return. The joy began to come back. And God did it through his word. Psalm 33, verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is what?" Is, okay, well, that's not what it says in this text. My Bible says, "The word of the Lord is right." And that's true. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. But this verse says, "The word of the Lord is right." You know, I've never seen a time where there's been more confusion than today. There's confusion sometimes in our own churches. There's confusion in the world. There's confusion in politics. There's confusion on the internet. There's confusion in social media. There's just confusion everywhere these days. Wouldn't you agree? And we need to know what's right and what's wrong. And the good news is that God has a word that is right. The word of the Lord is right. Verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." When you read Genesis 1, how did God make this world in the first place? He spoke, and it was done. This whole planet is really a by-the-word planet. We live in a word world. This world was made by God's word. This word is very, very powerful. In the book Education, it says the creative energy that formed the worlds is in the word of God. And when we take that word inside of us, it can change us. It can recreate us. It can do things for us that we cannot do ourselves. Verse 10 says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord will stand forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." It's hard for me to describe to you, but there was a time, as I think I mentioned this before, earlier today, there was a time during this struggle that I felt like I was losing my mind. And I've never, you know, I didn't grow up with mental problems. I played a lot of basketball and went fishing and swimming, and I was a normal kid, got into drugs. But even when I was into drugs, I never felt like I was on the edge of my sanity. That never happened to me as I was growing up. It happened 4 or 5 years after I became a Christian. It happened because of the battle that I was in between God and the devil. I was a battlefield. A war zone with bombs going off inside me. There were times, numerous times, after I began to pray for the Holy Spirit, I'd pray, "Lord, give me more of the Holy Spirit," that as I would do that, I would feel pressure. I would feel something happening inside as I would pray for the Spirit to come in. I would feel pressure coming up. And there were times when I would have to grab on to a table or something. I would hold on, and as I prayed, it was like I'd go, "Ugh!" And something would come out of me. And these things that came out of me wanted to curse and swear. And I learned that these were devils. These were demons that I had let in. That they were coming out. And the Lord just went through this process. And I learned very, very, very clearly that we are in a very real battle between God and the devil. Very, very real. There was a girl that I haven't seen in a long time, but later on, after my mind cleared up, she grew up an Adventist, and then she got involved in witchcraft. She got involved in Wicca. She started casting spells and doing different things. And then she had all these demonic invasions coming into her, and she remembered Jesus from her childhood, and she prayed, and she said, Lord, get me out of this. And so she and I began to communicate. And one time I sent her an email. And as I wrote her to encourage her, she wrote me back. And the email that I got in my inbox from her address said this. It said, back off, Wahlberg, she's mine. Can you imagine getting an email like that? And I looked at that email and I thought, wow, I've never gotten an email like that before. So what do you do? And I thought, I'm going to write back, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to quote Scripture only. So I quoted Romans 16:20 that says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. I wrote that out and I clicked send. I sent that right back to the author of the email. And then this woman wrote me back. And then she said, her email said, what happened? Did something just happen? And then I tried to explain to her, yes, something did happen. You know, you came back under the control of the demonic powers. But the Lord is wanting to free you. He's wanting to free you. So I am very, very convinced. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I have felt them come into me, and I felt them go out of me. That there are demons in this world. There are evil angels. There's a real Lucifer. There's a real devil. There are good angels. There are bad angels. We are in a war. We are in a battle for our souls, and the power that we can have is Scripture. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted three times by the devil, how did he win over those temptations? He did not talk to the devil except the very end when he said, get behind me, Satan. But every other thing he said, he just said, it is written. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus just quoted Scripture because he knew that as a human being in a weakened state that he's in, his only source of power and authority against the devil is the Word of God. I have experienced this. That when I almost lost my mind, it hit me one day that the way I'm going to put my mind back together is line by line, word by word, text by text. And I came to trust the Bible. I came to trust the Lord's Word. And I trust it now. And the Lord put me back together from his Scriptures. There's power in the Word of God, incredible power, power to heal, power to deliver, power to save, power to help us to keep our minds, power to help us not to go insane, power to help us not to be pulled into the darkness, power to get us out of the darkness if we're in the darkness. It's all here in God's book. Matthew 24, verse 35. And I praise the Lord Jesus Christ that I am nowhere near the edge tonight. You know, I used to be on the edge. I used to struggle with keeping my sanity. But not anymore. Not right now. Now, as I'm getting older, you know, Dan and I were talking. I think it was Dan that, you know, it was Pastor Sam, that, you know, my short-term memory is not as good as it used to be. As you get older, you know, your mind just doesn't remember like it used to. But I am no longer dealing with the issues that I used to deal with. I am not on the edge. I'm not at the crossroads. I'm not about to go out back to the world. I'm not going back to the world. I've made up my mind. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. One time I was at the Soquel, California camp meeting after I got out of the seminary and I made this decision. I remember going out in a field to pray and I got on my knees and I remember shouting at the devil. and I said, Satan, I'm not going your way. I am not going your way. I am going to stick with Jesus. And I realized this, you know, this is war. This is war. Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That means that God's word is more solid than the heaven above and the earth that we walk on. Everything you see around us one of these days is all going to disappear. This planet is going to go. The sky, everything's going to just vanish. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, but his word is going to go through. And if we stick with the word of God, when the word keeps going, guess who's going to keep going? We are. If God's word is in you, his word is going on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are going on forever, and we can go on forever with those words. A couple more texts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, for this reason, he wrote to Timothy, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men. This is not the word of men. Men wrote it, but it's inspired by God. And when you receive it, you don't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. It's a powerful text. It says that when you welcome this word comes into you as the word of the living God, and it will work inside of you, and it will do things in you that you cannot do by yourself. Line by line, God's plan is for us to come back into his image. And when this word is in us, that's exactly what happens. He'll put your life together by his word. If you feel like you're all like puzzle pieces, you know, scattered all over the place, God can put all the puzzle pieces back together by his word. His word will give you a sound mind. His word will give you good thinking. You'll be able to reason correctly. You'll be able to think clearly. You'll be able to discern the difference between right and wrong. You'll be able to make good decisions. And you'll have peace in your heart, peace in your soul, that Jesus is your Savior, that you're doing what's right, you're on the right road, and you're getting ready for heaven. That's what the Word of God can do. Two more texts. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John 2, verse 14. John wrote, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides where? It abides in you. God's plan is that his word not just be confined to the in between the covers of a book. God wants his word in you. And remember, Jesus is the word, right? He's the living word. So when the written word through the Holy Spirit comes into us, that's how Jesus comes into us. Have you ever wondered, how do I abide in him? Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Well, how do we do that? We abide in him through his word, by his word coming into us. This scripture says, you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So how do we overcome the devil? We overcome him by the word. That's right. When the word comes in, the devil goes out. And when the word is out, guess who comes in? Right. It's that simple. It's the word of God. The Lord has given me a hunger these days for his word. I love, many times I'm laying in bed at night, and or sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I may look at the clock, and it's 5:30, or I don't need to get up for another hour, and I'll just lay there, and I'll start thinking about Scripture. I've memorized a lot of Scriptures. I just recently memorized Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I've gone through this in my mind over and over again. And I love laying in bed when, it's just real quiet, whether I'm going to bed or whether I'm waking up, and I just quote Scripture. And, you know, it's really, it's not a burden to me. It's really neat, if I can use that expression. I like it. I like doing it. I've been so blessed by memorizing Scripture. God has put my life back together through his word. I feel like I've been rescued twice. I was rescued in 1979 out of the world when I first read Desire of Ages in the dorm room. That was my first rescue. And then I got into all these spiritual struggles because I didn't really realize the importance of humility and relying on Scripture alone. And then I got into a lot of spiritual trouble, and the Lord rescued me a second time. Just like Jonah says that, after the fish spit Jonah out, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And he said, arise, go to Nineveh. And so the Lord has rescued me twice, and I've decided by his grace, I'm just determined, I don't want to be rescued a third time, at least not the same way. The next rescue I want is the rescue when Jesus comes to get me out of here, to take me home when he comes back again. That's what it's all about. My last text is Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 13. And you know, you don't have to start by memorizing the whole Bible. Just memorize one verse. Just memorize one verse. Just think about one verse. Find a verse that speaks to you and just think about that one verse and memorize that one verse. And you'll discover that there's tremendous power in the Word of God. The Bible's the best psychologist out there. Jesus is the best counselor in existence. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you need. He knows how to put you together, how to bless your body and your soul. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And I've learned that through my own experience, and it's just great. It's really good. It's really good. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Jesus went through things that we'll never know, we'll never be able to fully understand what Christ has been through for us. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the traditions of men, the opinions of men, the philosophy of men, the views of men, the psychologies of men. No. When Jesus Christ comes down from heaven, he has a special name. His name is called the Word of God. And that's the best thing that I can leave with you at the end of this weekend. The way to get ready for heaven is through Scripture. As we read from Great Controversy, none but those who have fortified their minds with the truths of the Bible will stand during the last great conflict. God's Word is powerful. Jesus loves us. He wants what's best for us. And, you know, there's nothing better for us. And, you know, one of the biggest dangers facing our church, one of the biggest dangers is not false theology, as dangerous as that is. It's not false psychology. As dangerous as that is, the biggest danger facing our church today is entertainment. Not that we should never, watch something. I'm not saying that. But what's happening is we're getting so mesmerized by so much entertainment that is available to us on our phones, on TV, and everywhere else, that we are losing our interest in the Word of the Lord. And the Bible is becoming boring to people. That is a trap of the devil. I tell you, if we think the Bible's boring, that says a whole lot more about us than it does about the Bible. It says a lot about us. God's Word is not boring. The Word that created this whole planet is not boring. It's very, very exciting. So start with a text, one text at a time, and let the Lord bless you and prepare you for heaven, and you'll be very, very glad that you did. Very glad. All right, well, let's close with prayer, and then we'll take some questions if you want. I think the ladies are preparing some more food, and we have a book sale around the corner and some free literature as well. So let's pray and close our time together. Dear Father in heaven, may your name be glorified. May Jesus be glorified and lifted up. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done for me. I'm so grateful, Lord, and I'm nothing. Without you, I'm a human demon. I know that. Without you, but with you, little by little, I can be restored back into your image to reflect your goodness, your love, your truth, your mercy. That's what it's all about. Lord, bless everybody here. Prepare us all for heaven. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your pure word, so your word can change our lives and ground us so that we will not be moved in the last great conflict. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for giving me a chance to be here this weekend in Fallbrook, California. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have two microphones. I'm going to take a chance. If you want to ask some questions,